Hi, this is Giovanni. You've heard me on the radio for years, and now I want to invite you to listen to my new podcast on the iHeartRadio app. It's called The Art of Improvement. You can download it on the iHeartRadio app. We talk about entrepreneurship, improving your life, your career, and believing in yourself. One of my favorite quotes is from gold medalist Michael Phelps. There will be obstacles, there will be doubters, there will be mistakes, but with hard work, there are no limits. It's called The Art of Improvement. Download it now by Giovanni Murata.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. The Joe Pags Show coming your way. Oh, by the way, the live video stream is there, too, on a Tuesday.
All aboard!
Yeah, it's a crazy train Tuesday. Gary, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Making it happen?
Hello? Done always? Yes.
Not really.
Yeah, I do.
Really.
Every day.
A lot of mailing it in.
And no. Not so.
Ba-da-doo-dee-dee-da-da-da-da. We've got stupid stories and stupider stories.
Awesome.
By the way, I'm getting reports that it was fake news about that foreclosure stuff with the judge's mother.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if you could look that up for me and see if that, in fact, was fake news. We will out fake news here, even if it's fake news that would allegedly help our side. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We'll always tell the truth. You know what I'm saying? People can rely on us.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is it going to take for the listeners to understand that it's P-O-L-O?
Oh, no.
Is that asking
a lot? No, it's not.
Hold up. Guy loves our show. I Rickrolled him on the reviews, by the way, because he loves you.
Hey.
I think it's spelled K-E-R-I.
Hey, you know,
so
we
So probably
met.
Wasn't you.
Fine.
Probably
fine.
Wasn't you.
Oh, it was to me.
Probably was a different Kerry. But for some reason, they think it's either Paolo or Pollo. And I don't get it.
Well,
you know, the Polo
know.
Brand and the Polo ponies and the Polo game has been around for centuries.
Yes.
Why exactly are we having an issue with P-O-L-O?
I don't know.
Polo, has that always been an issue for you, or just people on this show?
Just people on this show.
So nobody's ever had a problem with it before?
No, not really. I mean, maybe when they struggle to pronounce my full name, but I mean, if I said it was Polo, they figured it out.
His first name is Polo.
Right.
It's a big long thing, and then the Polo. There's like seven syllables, then Polo. Right.
Right. No.
You actually told me what it was once, and I don't remember, and I think I know what it is, but it sounds like Polo Body, and I don't think it's that.
No.
I don't think it's Polo Cuerpo.
No.
I don't think that's what it is.
No.
But something
it's
like
close.
That, isn't
it's
it?
Close, yeah.
Something like that. But you say that usually they screw up your last name, which is Cuellar, but they go with cellular.
Right.
And again, you know, I feel your pain. From a guy whose last name is Pagliarulo, who's been called Pacagorillas, and who's been called Pagliarigatoni.
I think the gorilla.
Kerry, there was
one
somebody
of my
actually.
Favorite.
No, what's that? What's your favorite?
The gorilla's one. I think that's my favorite.
Literally wrote it Pacagorillas.
Well, why not?
I spelled the last name.
Yeah.
To the pack of gorillas family. Went right to my mom's house back in the day. Mm. So, yeah, but Polo is easy. That's easy. That's not hard. Kerry, I get because you can spell Kerry 30 different ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, my parents wanted something different.
C A R R I E E I Q I.
No, that's not true.
But the Q is silent.
C A R I. It's short and sweet.
Not short. Not really.
Yeah, it
is more complicated than that. And by the way, you could find her by just putting it at Kerry on the Joe Pags Show on Twitter. You can just.
You can't. Yeah, and I've told
you
before I couldn't do it.
You didn't do something that actually would have given a nod to the show.
No, I could not. It wasn't letting me do it. I told you.
High five, buddy. Thanks, buddy. So today, Kerry, we've got stupid news and stupider news.
Okay.
Then we've got serious stuff that we'll get into as well. Bottom of hour number two, it'll be the president of Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton. And Tom doesn't care. Hashtag Tom don't care. He will go after Hillary Clinton, her server, Benghazi, the deep state, the FISA warrant stuff. We talk about a range of stuff. Let me ask you a little something about the language, because you speak the language pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you're going to use the word myriad, do you use of or not afterwards?
I think I do.
I do as well. Polo, do you use of after myriad or not? Or do you just never use the word?
Myriad? Is that
yeah.
What you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say that I've ever used that word.
Sam, you're going to use of after myriad or not?
I don't think I've ever used that word either.
Okay, well, it sort of means the gamut of, the range of, a lot of. And I've heard people recently say, myriad cars were on the road. I'm like, well, no, it's a myriad of. Why aren't you using the word of?
Sounds right.
And I actually was in a movie. Yes, I've been in movies. Look me up, IMDb, Joe Pagsy. But I was in a movie, and I had this line, and the guy just had it myriad planes or something. And I said, well, no, it'd be myriad of. And he said, no, it's just myriad. I said, I don't think that's true. And, you know, I was getting paid, so I didn't want to argue too much. But I stated my case, and I think that I said myriad of, and then later in the dialogue, one of the actors says just myriad, so it kind of sounds dumb. But I've always said of. Either way, we cover a myriad of topics that are... See, it felt right to say myriad of topics. Mm-hmm. Am I really going to say we cover a myriad topics?
No, that doesn't sound right.
It doesn't feel right, does it?
You got to use the of. Yeah, I would.
Sam, Carrie's on camera, so she's trying to look all pretty and stuff. So do me a favor and look up the proper usage of myriad of. Because, Carrie, I normally ask you to do it, and then the people on camera see you go, oh, let me type that.
Well, I'm looking about the Brett Kavanaugh's mother stuff, too.
Yeah, see if you can find something on that, because somebody, I didn't listen to Rush today. I didn't listen to any talk radio at all. And I, generally speaking, don't listen to much. But I'm told by one of the listeners that he said it was fake news. So let's see if we have
opinion piece from the Washington Examiner saying, no, Brett Kavanaugh's mother did not foreclose on his accuser's parents' house.
Okay, well, the Washington Examiner is a right-leaning, or actually down the middle, slightly leaning right outlet, so I'm going to take their word for it. And again, if it's fake news, it's fake news. We didn't come up with it. I said reports yesterday, and others have said. So, look, we want to make sure that we're right. Now we're hearing that, we'll update the Kavanaugh stuff as we go. But I do want an answer. Stupid news or stupider news?
Stupid news.
Okay, Polo, stupider or stupider?
Do you have anything that's more stupider? I heard that on the show once.
I don't think we have stupider and more stupider. Yeah, no.
I heard a lady say it's about to get a lot more stupider. I
was like, yeah, that's going to be incorrect English right there. Sam, stupid or stupider?
Stupider. Stupidest.
I don't know if I have a stupidest. We're still working on stupidest for today. But I'm going to start with stupider because you both seem to want, well, Sam just made up a different word, but I think that we're going with stupider, right?
Okay.
Let me give the subjects. Stephanie Clifford or Sesame Street? which one?
Sesame Street.
Okay, Sam, you're telling me that most linguists say that either myriad of or myriad are both acceptable?
That's what they say.
Okay, well, they can shut their face. That's what I say.
Mm. Joe Pax is right. Use of afterwards, yes.
You should use of after my name all the time. Joe Pax of. Stuff that we're talking about.
Come up with a few.
Can't you just use a different word instead of myriad?
Well, no, because I think that we should expand our linguistic abilities. I mean, I think we're in a communication business. Why can't I say myriad of? I mean, the whole idea that you would get rid of the of is, I think it's lazy. They're trying to save a syllable.
I like plethora. I don't know.
A plethora?
Yes.
Of?
Piñatas.
Okay.
No?
Yes.
No. Okay.
That's the proper usage.
You mean when it's you say lazy, like when we're messaging each other and you tell me thanks, but you only do THX? Instead
why
of writing out
so
the
annoyed
whole
by that?
Word,
THX
I don't
does
know. It just
thanks.
Bothers me. I don't
why?
Know. But why can't you
why?
Take the time to say
you are
thanks,
so
uppity. Carrie?
Wow.
I appreciate it.
Well, then she would probably hate me because I always say TY. So
right.
Oh, write it out. People.
You should see the messages Paul and I write to each other. It's seven letters.
Why does TY?
Two paragraphs.
We
right.
Talk. Need a message.
NP. It tells NP. No problem.
Yeah.
So,
come on.
Or I actually wrote NW once to a friend. What the hell is NW? No worries. What are you serious? You don't know what that means.
Seriously.
All right. So. Did we say Clifford or Sesame Street? Where are we starting?
I say Sesame Street.
So I get up and I always check out the social media. Now, keep in mind, I realize social media isn't real life. Unfortunately, there are a bunch of dopes out there that think it is real life. So Jack and the other idiots at Twitter that squelch conservative voices and push a far left-wing liberal agenda, a new world agenda, which is so freaking weird it's hard to even recognize, they will have these things trend. As I mentioned on 9/11, September 11th and Remember 9/11 and all that stuff only trended for a short amount of time. And before you know it, Cardi B was punching Nicki Minaj or something. And that was the biggest trend going. Today I wake up and Mario Kart is trending. And I have no idea why it's a Nintendo game, right? Mario Kart?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have no idea why that's trending. I used to like playing the game. And then I see something about Stephanie Clifford's fake porn name. And then something about, I don't know, just very, I'm like, none of this makes any sense. And I'm like, why is she trending again? And I guess this idiot, in between stripping at seedy, dirty clubs and having sex for money on film or video, she's written a book somehow. Which, come on, who listening and watching right now isn't surprised that this person would have written a book? But I guess in this book, she allegedly, this is what our society is now. she allegedly describes the region of the President of the United States. Now, keep in mind, this is somehow the vision, the personification of the moral high ground, according to the left. The adult film person who gets paid to have sex with any number of people that you can pay her to have sex with on video and dances at the CD clubs and all that. And again, she's a free liberated American. She can do that. I'm just saying she can do that legally. And I'm not, if that's what she chooses to do, I'm not saying she's not allowed to and lock her up. But what I am saying is don't pretend this is the moral high ground. Okay? She's not. She's not even for a second. As the left tries to say the president has no morals, the person they're propping up as their moral high ground, their standard, is Stephanie Clifford. And this person now alleges to describe the junk of the leader of the free world. And Twitter and Jack and everybody else who runs that horrible website that I can't get enough of, I guess, they promote that. They push that to the top. When you've got the President of the United States is going to declassify the FISA warrant stuff, these documents are going to be earth-shattering for this country. When that's going on, and there are new tariffs that he's talking about with China, and there's new information about North Korea, will they or won't they with the nukes? I mean, there's really important stuff going. The economy continues to click and do incredible stuff. But what's trending is Stephanie Clifford and her description, and I guess it's somehow, and I did not, Carrie, I swear I'm not being funny, I did not read it, but somehow Mario Kart is somehow involved in that.
Okay. I'm not sure.
Do you know how it's involved?
I do not.
Polo, I know that you know, but I don't think we should say it, should we?
What do you mean?
Okay. So, again, I'm not going to be descriptive because we've got families listening to the program and watching the program. But let me say this again. The far left in this country wants us to believe she's the moral high ground. He's the devil incarnate and the moral low ground. She should be listened to. He should not be listened to. And we go from that, and I definitely want to hear people's comments on this, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Then we go from that to even stupider, or was this the stupid one, where Sesame Street is now trending, Bert and Ernie are individually trending, and then there are all sorts of claims about Bert and Ernie now. Carrie, what are Bert and Ernie?
They're puppets.
Do puppets have sex, as far as you know?
Not as far as I know.
Just asking for a friend.
No.
So therefore, denoting a sexual orientation of puppets would be, some would say, stupid or even stupider.
Correct.
Okay. 888-941-PAGS. We'll get into that, too. Got a lot going on. There's, of course, updates on Kavanaugh. Oh, yes. There's a city in this country that has officially banned meat for a day. We'll have that story, which is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And, oh, yeah, the Me Too movement, there are two leaders who are now at odds with each other. There are two leaders of the Me Too movement who hate each other, and isn't one suing the other one now?
I believe so,
is that what's going on?
Yeah.
That's what this is denigrated to.
Yeah.
So we got all that on the plate and much more, plus Tom Fitt in bottom of hour number two. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great to have you. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. This one made me laugh over, and again, Twitter is, for me, it's a double-edged sword. You love to hate it. Oh, and by the way, because people were misusing Myriad, they suddenly said it could be an adjective too, but the old Merriam's dictionary actually says that it's a noun and you need of after it. But then they've updated it. Somehow it's a colloquialism, so if you want to make it an adjective, go ahead. I hate when we switch the language around like that to make the dorks feel better.
I know. What are you going to do about it, though?
Oops, but this one over here on
Myriad of.
Exactly right. I'm going to say it correctly until the kids learn.
Yeah.
888-941-PAGS. This is great from Shirley. Checking, trucking across the U.S., currently not in Kansas. Have an awesome show. Joe, Sam, Kerry, K-E-R-R-I, and Pablo. Sorry if I got something wrong. I don't care who you are. You're going to laugh at that.
Yeah,
Paulie, you got to laugh at that.
Come on.
We love her. She's one of the truckers. And, you know, she listens wherever she is. She follows around, probably has it on iHeart, whatever else. But that just cracked me up. It just did. I mean, that was great stuff. Then she wrote back, oops, Polo, sorry. So she knew what she was doing. It's good stuff. It is 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Carrie, did you ever consider the sexuality of Bert and Ernie?
No, I did not. No.
I grew up watching these guys.
Not for a second. I did too.
I thought they were brothers, then they were just roommates. And then either they were based on the Odd Couple or the Odd Couple was based on them. One or the other, you know, one was clean, one was annoying. I mean, that it just seemed to work. It's almost like Thomas the Train. And Dana Lash, friend of mine, she said something just cracked me up the other day. She said, they're freaking trains. They're not black or white or Muslim or Christian or Jewish. They're trains. You know, I mean, we're trying to add this minimized persona, this intersectionality on everything in our society now. And we really need Bert and Ernie to be gay or straight? That's really something we have to have today? Carrie, when you saw that story, what was your thought process? You're a mom of a couple of kids.
Yeah, well, we were just talking about this with Polo over the break. You know, they were three, four, maybe 5 years old. They weren't thinking about the sex. It was just the puppets and learning a lesson and the ABCs and 1, 2, 3. I don't want my kids at that age thinking about, well, are Bert and Ernie having sex? No, it's ridiculous. No.
Well, it is ridiculous. And here's how the ridiculousness even got going today. This is from The Sun. The headline is Truth is Out. This is from The Sun out of the UK, UK. Truth is out. Bert and Ernie's Sesame Street writer finally ends decades of speculation about whether living characters are gay. Telly fans have been convinced for years that the lovable pair who share a basement apartment on the long-running kids show but sleep in different beds are lovers. No, we haven't been convinced of that. Nobody cared. Nobody thought about if they were lovers. Nobody. The true nature of Bert and Ernie's very special friendship has been a hotly debated mystery ever since the iconic children's show first aired in 1969. Many were convinced the two lovable characters shared the basement apartment were lovers. With their adorable bickering and easy chemistry, every TV series from Friends and The Simpsons to Family Guy lovingly painted them as partners, too. Now, after decades of speculation, one of the show's writers has lifted the lid on its most famous and beloved characters. Mark Saltzman, who joined the Sesame Street team in 1984, has revealed he did indeed write Bert and Ernie as a gay couple. And you would figure, Carrie, that this now has proven it. One of the writers says they were a gay couple. We now know, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Until, of course, people who really matter stepped up and said, what are you, stupid?
Yeah.
No. In fact, the Sesame Workshop, the Sesame Street, the verified Sesame Street deal, said, please see our statement below regarding Bert and Ernie. Isn't it stupid that they had to do this?
Yes, of course it is.
Some ridiculous writer decides, I wrote them as gay, and therefore they are? Is that what we're supposed to think?
Mm-mm.
I'm going to actually show this to those who are watching on the live stream when we do this and do that. As we've always said, Bert and Ernie are best friends. They were created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends with those who are very different from themselves. Even though they are identified as male characters and possess many human traits and characteristics, as most Sesame Street Muppets do, they remain puppets and do not have a sexual orientation. Okay? Quick break. We're coming back on the Joe Pag Show. Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more. Now, I'm going to ask those who are listening, who are calling in, a very simple question, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Which is the stupider story? Stephanie Clifford, that's her real name, the stripper, porn person paid for having sex on video, being the moral high ground for the left, giving what she claims to be a description of the genitals of the leader of the free world and being applauded and held up on high and propped up by the left? Or the fact that a writer claimed that Bert and Ernie are gay lovers, even though Sesame Street says, no, they aren't, or there's no sexual orientation even considered. And now the creator of the characters is saying, well, no, they're not gay. Which, Carrie, do you have a choice? And again, 888-941-PAGS. Which one is the stupider story?
Probably for me, the Bert and Ernie one. It comes as no surprise that Stephanie Clifford is doing this. I was surprised though with Bert and Ernie, and then the people from Sesame Street actually having to come back and write about this and say, no, that's not the case. So My vote, stupider, is the Sesame Street story.
I got to tell you, I think you're right about Stephanie Clifford. We're not surprised. We kind of expected mm-hmm. this. I think when she was interviewed by Anderson Cooper, who will pretend he's in chest deep water, even though he didn't have to be when covering hurricanes, I think that she actually alluded to the fact that she could somehow describe his junk. So I guess we're not. That's who she is. She's that person. So the fact that she did that is not surprising. I think that's a good point. Paula, which one is the stupider story?
I'm thinking the Bert and Ernie.
No. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of argument. When I tell you what Frank Oz said, the man who created the characters, you guys, it'll be unanimous. Sam, stupider story?
Definitely the Sesame Street story.
Okay. So let me show the people on the live stream the tweet by Frank Oz. You know Frank Oz, right? He's the guy with the voice mm-hmm. that you would recognize. He yep. created these characters. His tweet today from, I don't know, about 3.5-4 hours ago. It seems Mr. Saltzman, Mr. Mark Saltzman, was asked if Bert and Ernie are gay. It's fine that he feels they are. They're not, of course. But why that question? Does it really matter? Why the need to define people as only gay? There's much more to a human being than just straightness or gayness. Now, you would figure that the guy who created the characters, what he has to say probably would be final, right?
Yes, I would say so.
Oh, Carrie, there are comments on here. I'm going to try to see, make sure they're not any curse words. Tom writes him, why are they not? Not arguing, just wondering. He said he wrote from that point of view. Frank Goss said, I created Bert. I know what and who he is. How do you argue with the creator?
Hello?
You're really arguing with the person that created the character. And actually, you know what
silly.
I mean?
Yeah.
So then there's an idiot that responds to him there, says, you may have created him, but you don't seem to realize or appreciate that what he meant to thousands of little boys growing up. You digging in your heels and wrongly conflating romantic orientation with sexual orientation with what seems like disgust is abjectly disappointing. Carrie, he created the character.
I have no words for that.
How can this person be outraged by a character this man created?
Well, nowadays, it's easy to do.
How can you tell the man who created him you're wrong about what your creation is?
Yeah, you shouldn't.
So Frank responds, how odd you see my feelings as disgust. And then some other idiot says, if you aren't disgusted, why do you care so much about this? Come on, Frank, say it. I hate the gays. It's right there, man. Come on, say it. You know you want to. And Frank Oz says, what? And then this idiot says, don't think I stuttered, my man. And Frank Oz, God bless him, continues to go back and forth with this idiot. I'm so sorry you've experienced so many painful experiences in your life just because of your sexuality. It must have been, it seems it still is, hurting you deeply and understandably creating a rage in you. You are right. People need to accept you who you are. And that just sets everybody off. I mean, he dares go there. And that's it. So, I mean, there really isn't much argument, right? Although I'm getting calls. No. From some people who think that the Stephanie Clifford story is the stupider story. That's interesting to me. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Let me go to the phone line, say hello and welcome to Bob in Kansas City. Bob, what's up?
Hi, Joe.
Hey.
Hey, I was wondering, besides the whole Bert and Ernie thing, what your thoughts were about Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Potato Head, clearly was pansexual. Let's be serious. He's cooked in a pan. It's got to be pansexual, right? Carrie, am I right or wrong?
I don't know about that one.
Can I be honest with you? I don't really know what pansexual means.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is. So.
Now, the only reason I know the term is because your girl, Miley Cyrus, I know you're a huge
fan.
My girl.
No, I'm not.
Came out as pansexual. Polo, you're the pop culture guy. What does pansexual mean?
I have no idea.
But that's what she said she was, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
And again, she's living with a guy who's the brother of Thor, right?
Right.
And they're either married or they're going to be married. And I don't know that I've ever seen her with a girl as the girlfriend, but does it feel better to say you're something sexual? Does it make you feel more hip? And with the time, she clearly is in what's allegedly a monogamous relationship with this guy. What's his face? What's it? Hemster? What's his name?
Hemsworth. Liam Hemsworth.
Exactly right. Yeah. I knew it was Hem something. Yeah. I was going to say Hamster. I don't think his name is Hamster. Mr. Potato clearly would fall into that pansexual realm.
Well, would you like to know the definition?
Okay, Carrie.
It is the sexual, romantic, or emotional attraction towards people regardless of their sex or gender identity. Pansexual people may refer to themselves as gender blind.
So she just happened to fall in love with a dude and she happens to be a girl?
That's what it seems like.
Gotcha. So, I mean, I could literally say I'm pansexual too, but only live my life as a heterosexual person, but that somehow makes me cool.
I think so.
Hip and with the times.
Yeah.
Come on, dude. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. As I look at Twitter right now, I'm going to get off of Frank Oz's page because I feel sorry for the guy. Because he actually sat there and argued with people for, at one point, I think he said, well, what were the Flintstones?
I was thinking the same thing, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Who does that sound like? Somebody arguing, about? Going back and forth with people
never
who
that.
Will
don't,
never
don't
change
you judge
their minds.
Me.
I will, because you do
don't
it
you
too.
Don't you bring a myriad of judgment against me.
I will.
Okay, top trending, Bert, Ernie, then Yom Kippur.
Huh.
A lot of people say Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur. And then Sesame Street is fourth. So there you go. Bert, Ernie, and Sesame Street are still in the top four on Twitter. That's how stupid that story is. Yet I've got Rudy on the line who wants to tell me that the other story is actually stupid. Rudy, don't use her stage name. Call her Stephanie Clifford. What's on your mind?
Okay, well, since you reminded me, Stephanie Clifford, I believe that story is the stupidest and the funniest because it shows how ignorant and stupid the leftists are. I saw it trending on Twitter and I heard about it on a couple podcasts I listened to today. And they were talking about, you know, describing the thing as Mario Kart, you know, Yoshi or whatever.
I have no idea. I don't know the reference and I don't want to know the reference. Don't describe
that, okay. So that just shows how low everybody is going just to dog Trump. I mean, really, you have to go that low. I'm like, what gives? And I'm like, the lady's 15 minutes are up and over with. And how many more things is she going to come up with? And how many more things are people are going to accept to continue to give her this fame?
Yeah, but Rudy, I have to make sure that you, because you were on the line before I said this, keep in mind, the man that created the character Bert knows that he did not create him as gay, and he's still being attacked for not accepting that the character he created is gay. You don't think that's stupider?
Well, I mean, because that story has been gone back and forth. It's you know, been, I've seen that story come up about at least 3 times in the past 10 years.
Yeah, but it's never been substantiated. Now they have a writer who claimed that it was true, and the creator in Sesame Street itself had to say, well, no, it's not true. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay, I tell you what, Joe. Let's just say I can't decide, really. Let's just say both stories are really the stupidest. I mean, this is like, this probably was a slow news day.
No, it really wasn't. There's a lot going on today. I appreciate you, Rudy. Thank you. Carrie, between Rudy and the other callers so far, stupid or stupider?
I'm not going to answer
No, I'm just kidding. Come on.
That.
We love Rudy. I think that's Rude Dog. I'm pretty sure that's Rude Dog. We love Rudy. We think that he's great. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to give you that one. Because I think that Carrie actually was the definitive answer on that. Yes, I'm giving you credit for it. Stephanie Clifford doesn't do anything we didn't expect. A writer for Sesame Street who had to be refuted by Sesame Street and the creator of the character, I think that's stupider. So, Carrie, I'm actually giving you kudos for this one today.
Wow, thanks a lot.
Don't get used to it. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, bottom of hour number two. It'll be Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch. We cover Deep State. We cover Kavanaugh accuser. We cover Hillary Clinton and Benghazi and former President Obama. Calling Carrie, you know that he called Benghazi a wild conspiracy theory?
I did, yeah.
That it was a terrorist attack?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was proven. Does he think it was a videotape?
I don't know what he was thinking when he said that.
So we'll talk about that as well. In the meantime, 888-941-PAGS. If you want to talk during the program, I do live tweet at Joe Talk Show. If you want updates, you got your message today, right?
I certainly did.
Hey, Carrie.
Looking forward to it. Carrie.
Almost showtime.
Woo.
Yeah, a couple of people unsubscribed, and when they do, I make fun of them. Is that childish?
A little bit, yeah. It is.
I'm like, bye, Felicia. I'm like, every time somebody unsubscribes. All right, so just go to joepags.com, click on Facebook, click on send message, and then once you send me a message, you're signed up for my Facebook messages. We're back after this on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Plenty to get to. A lot of people on the phone line will talk to you in a second. Carrie, is it juvenile of me to answer some of these idiots that sign up for my message that don't know who I am?
Mm-hmm. Why, what are you saying?
And is it logical to think that they don't know they actually came to my page, signed up for the messages, and then say, who are you?
I know. Come on. That's just rude. Oh, don't do that.
Get started. This is from Shane. Then he says, who are you? And of course I say, you know, the logical answer is, yo mama.
Is that not how
I should respond?
No, you totally.
Then he said something foul and profane that I should go do something to myself. and I answered, I said, don't talk to your mama that way.
Dude.
I'm just saying. I mean, don't sign up for my crap if you don't want.
Who are you?
I don't understand why you would seek me out. You think it denigrates me?
That you sought
me out on my page? They have to literally go to my page.
Yeah, they know who you are.
Of course they do.
No.
Do they think I don't know how they signed up for the messages? Mm-hmm. You can't sign up by thinking about it.
Come on.
You can't sign up by going to Sean Hannity's page and pressing send message. Yeah. You had to literally go to my page and send me something.
Yeah.
Then there's this other doofus. I am not interested in your updates at all. Well, good. Write the word unsubscribe. Well, why won't you debate with me here?
What?
Write unsubscribe. If I could unsubscribe them, I would. There's nothing wrong with these people.
Yes, I don't know. They're just looking for a fight.
I guess. I think that my answer is yo mama.
You know what? I like that. Yes.
What's wrong with that?
Keep doing that. Yeah. Nothing.
And if you say some, you know, profane garbage, it just shows who you are. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
Eat your vegetables, Shane. It's yo mama. All right. It's 888-941-PAGS. We'll get to the phone lines in a second. Got to remind you about Superbeats. And nitric oxide, it's the miracle molecule that helps you, your body's systems, your cardiovascular system specifically. Talking about blood flow, we're talking about your circulation. People wonder, why is it that when I get older, as I age, I lose energy, I start getting tired faster? It's just a sign of age, right? Well, it's a sign that you're not producing as much nitric oxide as you used to, so that slows you down. Well, Human, the company that made Super Beets, they've harnessed the power of nutrient-enriched beets and created a superfood that helps your body make more nitric oxide on its own. The core philosophy of the company is to develop heart-healthy products for your body. A teaspoon of Super Beets in the morning will get you going, will get that nitric oxide boosted, will help out your cardiovascular system, your blood pressure, and more. Real healthy, natural energy. 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeats.com. Find out how you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beets plus free shipping with your first purchase. Again, Super Beets at 1-800-516-8389 or go to joelovesbeats.com. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you waiting. Let me say hello to Mike, who's in Minnesota. Mike, what's going on? Hi. As soon as I took Mike, his cell phone...
Nope.
Go back on hold for a second, Mike. Don't hang up. Your cell phone sucks. I'm going to deal with it. What the hell's the matter with your cell phone in Minnesota? So we'll come back to you. Mike, stay on the line. We'll come back to you. Let me go to Gary in Florida. Gary, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. I'm from Minnesota, so maybe that counts.
No, your phone actually sounds good. So clearly you're in Florida.
Well, thank you. The reason I called was I just wanted to remind you that this Bert and Ernie thing, we went through with Barney, the purple dinosaur.
Yeah.
And we went through it with the Teletubbies because they're pastel colors.
Well, there was a purple Teletubby with a purse that they called gay. I forget which one it was.
Yeah, I don't remember. But it's just sad that we can't let our children be children.
Well, Gary, why do they need this? Why does it make them feel better? Why does it prop them up in life to feel like some fake puppet is gay? How does that help anybody?
Well, it furthers their cause to really, in my opinion, take down our culture totally, to destroy what has been the American culture.
But Gary, is that the right way to do it? Because I'm a straight dude.
Oh no!
When I was a little kid, not. I was born in '66. They started having Bert and Ernie in '69. I saw them on my television on Channel 13 in New York, and I never once thought to myself, "Well, thank God they like girls." I never once thought that, and it never made me more straight or less straight by watching these two help to educate me on PBS. This is how dumb it is.
But that's what I'm saying. It's depraved, is what it is. Children can't be children, and what is then happening is because they can't be children, they have to see and listen to this garbage. When they get to be teenagers, guess what happens?
Well, Gary, I got you, and I appreciate you. I heard the radio is up in the back. It's a little disconcerting, but I hear your message, and I think that you're right. I mean, Gary, that's really the message, right? I mean, kids don't care. They're not watching to see, to think to themselves, I wonder if they're going to dress up and go out on a date tonight.
Yeah, no, of course not.
I mean, we're not asking much, are we? Let them see the puppets.
I know. Let them be kids. It's actually pretty simple.
All right, I'm not going to take any more calls this hour, and if you're on the line, don't hang up. I just don't want to give you 20 seconds and say I got to go. So stay on the line. We'll carry this over to the top, and then we'll move on quickly. We've got other stories to get to. As I said, you've got the Me Too movement. You've got two leaders at odds with each other. The guy whose phone sucked, he hung up. See, that was the purpose of saying I'm taking more calls. I was trying to get rid of him.
Dude,
what a sucky cell phone. Dude, spend a couple of bucks.
Come on.
Can't you buy a better phone? Your iPhone 2? It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land, joepags.com for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. It's the Joe Pags Show, also on Newsmax TV on a Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. Right, Carrie? Taco Tuesday, your favorite day?
No.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Least favorite song.
Why can't it be your favorite song,
you
too?
You know why. No.
I don't understand why you're so anti-taco. Is that racist?
Why. No.
Oh, is that racist?
I love tacos. I do not like this song.
I'm just asking. A lot to ask, right?
Taco.
Appreciate you, Polo. Polo is chiming in. Carrie, you got one? Wow. Let's go. I'm dancing the salsa.
Please stop.
It could be the merengue.
Please stop.
Can I say merengue, or is that flipping?
I don't know. I think you could.
You talked right over that.
I know. You notice that?
That's your goal. I get it. There's a lot going on. For those of you just joining us today, right now, for this hour, talked a lot about the stupidest story of the day last hour. Well, I'll update you on that.
Taco.
Taco. All right, Polo, make it happen. Let's go.
Taco.
It's not Pablo. It's not Paolo. It's just Polo. It's not Pollo. It's Polo. All right, glad to have you here on a Taco Tuesday. It is your boy, Joe Pags. Last hour, we tried to figure out the stupidest story of the day, and it was between Stephanie Clifford, who is the lady, well, not, I said lady, Carrie. What a dumb thing to say. The woman, the person who has sex on video and gets paid to do so, claims that she had an affair with the now president 12 years ago, was given $130,000 in an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, which is perfectly legal, and is now just broken the NDA and is saying that this happened and that happened. And the left is trying to use her to paint the president as somebody who is morally corrupt or morally bankrupt. They're using a person who makes her living with no morals whatsoever. She's the one who is convincing, I guess, those on the left, because nobody on the right is buying her story, that the president's no good. Today I woke up and Twitter was trending Mario Kart and Stephanie Clifford, but her stage name. And she wrote some book and she's describing the president's genitals, allegedly. And that's who the left is today. That's who they become. Either that's the stupidest story, or the stupidest story is that a former writer for Sesame Street says that he wrote the characters Bert and Ernie as gay. Sesame Street has said, nope, no sexual orientation has ever been attached to the characters, and it's just not true. They're there to educate the children. And Frank Oz, who created at least Bert, maybe even Ernie too, Frank Oz says, no, not gay. I mean, he actually said, well, of course they're not. And then some person on Twitter actually challenged him. How dare you say they're not? How do you know? And his answer, I thought his answer was the best answer I've seen, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
I created Bert.
Hello.
I should know.
So yeah. If anybody would know, it would be him.
So there you go. So the bottom line is, those two were extremely stupid stories. Now, there are updates in the Kavanaugh story. Carrie, can you get me an update? Because the last I heard was, A, the Washington Examiner now says that Kavanaugh's mother, the Judge Kavanaugh, was not the presiding judge over the foreclosure case.
Right.
But also, the latest I heard before the show, and this is so fluid, if there's any change I want to know, was that the accuser refuses to go and speak before the hearing.
Well, I've heard
in front of the Senate.
She was given an invitation to speak. She has not responded. I don't know if, so you're hearing that she absolutely said she won't go?
No, I did not hear that.
Okay,
hear that she hasn't responded, but it was my assumption that means she's not going to.
Okay.
I don't think you're invited, and then you never answer it, and then you just show up. And the other person who was in the room, allegedly, goes on record and says, don't remember anything like this. Brett Kavanaugh would never have done that. The incident never happened.
Right.
But he has declined.
That is right. He will not go before
to
the committee.
Questions.
Right.
And his reasoning was, and correct me if I'm wrong, but his reasoning was, why would I? That's all I know. I'm not going to have somebody crack me with the coals.
Yes.
Right.
There's nothing to tell. So it'd be a waste.
There's nothing to add. Why would I ever say yes to that? So, look, the onus is on her 36 years later. And yes, there has been a picture that surfaced. I actually saw it today of her at the Women's March with the pink hat on. Did you see that?
I haven't seen that one. No.
Yeah. And I don't have it to show it to those watching on television right now, but I've seen that. And again, her lawyer, I get, and there have been other allegations, and again, these are from news sources, they're all over the social media, that say that her lawyer downplayed the allegations against what's-his-face, Al Franken.
Oh, okay. So, I heard about the Paula Jones stuff, but not about the Al Franken. Okay.
Right, and also the Paula Jones, that Paula Jones was not to be believed. And Paula Jones, by the way, got paid off. So it was believable. It was a lot of money. So that's sort of where we are. Can you get me just sort of a nuts and bolts encapsulation of whatever the update is today? Before we go to that, let me just grab a couple of people. I've got Dylan and I've got Ted who are holding to talk about the stupidest story of the day. So I'll let them get their thoughts out on either Stephanie Clifford. Again, that's the real name of the porn actress, or Bert and Ernie. Let me go to line three. Dylan, what's going on?
No, Phil, how you doing, man?
Living the dream. Talk to me. Which one?
Currently, the Sesame Street is stupider, but I think that story's going to pass by is what makes the Stephanie Clifford story more stupid to me is that it's just going to linger. It's going to last around.
Well, what about Carrie said, though? I mean, we're not surprised by Clifford doing this, right?
No, absolutely not at all. But what's going to surprise me is how long this is going to drag out. We're going to keep hearing about it, and she might get another interview on national television or her book. You know, it's just going to keep dragging on. And
would you ever buy the book?
More stupid.
Would you ever buy the book?
Never. I would. Nope.
Because I don't think anybody who's a supporter of the president cares, first of all, and believes her, or wants to give her a dime, and you would be giving her money if you go and buy the book. She's actually just playing to her own crowd, which is the far left who wants to support her. And they'll only support her as long as she's going after the president. If she decided tomorrow, listen, what happened happened, but I'm done talking about it, believe me, they would throw her into the bus in a second.
Yeah, like I said, what it makes stupid is that it's just going to drag on, that her little book or little comments are just going to linger. That's stupid to me.
I got Dylan, I hear you. I appreciate that. Polo, wasn't she invited on Celebrity Big Brother and she just never showed up?
Was it the UK one?
Yeah, right. She was supposed to be at the UK, and the last second, I guess, they asked for a bunch more money, and they refused or something?
Yeah.
Listen, this is a person whose entire adult life has been selling herself, body, soul, everything, mind, everything, for money. So I'm not really sure why. I guess I know why, because Jack doesn't like the president, and those who run Twitter and Facebook can't stand anybody who is either center or center right. You got to not only be left, you got to be far left to get anywhere in this very weird democratic socialist construct that they're trying to build. But man, I don't know. I think it hurts them. I really do. I think it hurts the social media powerhouses to continuously put up ridiculous things trending on social media. I think it is starting to bite them in the rear end. Ted is on four. Ted, last call on this. What's up?
Good afternoon, Joe. I just wanted to say for Stephanie Clifford, if anyone had attempted to do this to Barack Obama during his presidency, there would be loud condemnation.
Yeah.
There would be. She would be shunned from all forms of media, no book deals, no interviews, no nothing. She wouldn't have a career. She would not have a life because the media and everyone in it is so rabidly angry and hateful towards the president and indeed his entire family.
Yeah.
They are enabling this to her for to make money off of a lie. What I and I'm sure millions of other people know to be a complete fabrication.
Well, Dad, I hear you, and I agree with you. In fact, the president, then President Obama, wrote a book back in the day, and he talked about his girlfriend. And in that book, he's describing the girlfriend who he later said was a compilation of a few girls that he dated. There wasn't really one woman. And, Carrie, do you remember the media going after that woman, trying to find out about his junk, trying to find out about where they dated, where they did it, how they did it, was it any good? I mean, did you ever hear any of that?
I don't recall that.
I mean, he actually says in the one book that he enthusiastically experimented with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember anybody ever asking him about that enthusiastic experimentation?
Not that I can remember.
Nobody. He actually says it in the book. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a double standard. And you definitely, if Stephanie Clifford or anybody else would have come out and said, hey, yeah, I was with Barack Obama. In fact, there was a gay guy that came out and said that he dated Barack Obama and they did cocaine together. And he was excoriated as some sort of a racist, hate-filled conspiracy theorist. And, you know, you're saying to yourself, well, look, comparing the last president to the current president and the treatment of both is a fair comparison. But, Carrie, what happens if you make that comparison?
Then you get called a racist.
Racist! Absolutely right. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Go to at Joe Talk Show on Twitter. I live tweet. Plus, we're getting close to, I think, 55,000 over there. We've got about 370,000 on Facebook, but Facebook is not allowing anybody to add themselves to my Facebook page. It will never go over 369 again. It's always at 360. They won't let it go to 370 or 371. They are like, they're governing it. They're making sure it stays at a certain number. But you can, when you're on my Facebook page, click on send message. And once you do that, you're signed up to get my daily updates on the show. 888-941-PAGS. We're back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe PAGS Show.
Hey, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks to the Joe PAGS Show. So glad to have you along for the ride. A lot of people flooded over to the Facebook page to hit send message, and they're not letting me see your message. Well, you're going to see him now. If you sign up for that, you're going to see it now. There's this guy that for about 3 weeks now has been trying to debate me on the Facebook Messenger, and I keep on saying I don't do that on here. Call the show. Well, stop sending me messages. Okay, type the word unsubscribe.
It's really it's not that hard.
Carrie, is this a difficult thing that I'm asking to people?
It's not. No.
I don't know why they just can't do it.
The problem is.
By the way, about 12 minutes from now, it'll be Tom Fitton. He is the president of JudicialWatch.org. Make sure that you stick around for that. Great information, not only on Kavanaugh, the deep state, but also on Benghazi, also on the continued lies that are going on, trying to hide exactly what was being used as probable cause for the FISA court. He uncovers all of that. The president now is going to declassify the FISA warrants. And by the way, something that I did not know until I spoke with Tom is that the president doesn't know what's in them yet. So he's actually taking a chance of looking bad here. I don't think he's gonna. I think that McCabe and Comey and all these idiots and Rosenstein are gonna come out looking like absolute idiots, and hopefully they'll be facing charges, but it's about time. Let the American people see now what it is that we're paying for, what it is these people were trying to do. Right now, though, Carrie, if you don't mind, give me an update on the Kavanaugh story. What's the latest?
Mm-hmm. From Fox News, Democratic senators on Tuesday escalated their demands regarding a hearing to examine the sexual assault allegation against Brett Kavanaugh, suggesting Monday's scheduled public session with the Supreme Court nominee and his accuser is not enough, calling for more witnesses and more time for the FBI to dig into the allegations. Much remains up in the air with the allegation threatening to sideline the nomination days before Kavanaugh was slated for a floor vote. Right now, the FBI apparently is not investigating further despite Democratic demands, and it's not clear the hearing announced by Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley is even going forward. He scheduled a hearing for Monday, but said accuser Christine Blasey Ford has not responded to the invitation and threatened to nix the session if she doesn't. And Grassley on Tuesday also officially canceled the Thursday meeting that would have included a vote on whether to recommend Kavanaugh's nomination to the full Senate. Ford alleges that in high school, Kavanaugh pinned her down, tried to remove her bathing suit, and put his hand over her mouth when she attempted to scream. Kavanaugh denies it. But as Republicans try to navigate the 11th-hour bombshell, they're accusing Democrats of playing politics by first sitting on the allegations and now making new demands regarding a hearing. In letters Tuesday, Democrats on the committee said Republicans were rushing forward and the FBI should first perform a background investigation, as it did in 1991 when then-nominee Clarence Thomas was accused of sexual harassment by Anita Hill. Thomas was eventually confirmed. As you know, the FBI is not being asked to perform a criminal investigation. Rather, it's being asked to do an evaluation of the allegations as part of its review of Judge Kavanaugh's record. A letter to Grassley said, like in 1991, this is an important step in providing the committee the facts. The Democrats also called for more witnesses to be questioned under oath, including Mark Judge, whom Ford identified as in the room during the alleged assault, and others that might be identified through the FBI's investigation or subsequent due diligence by the committee itself. A judge said through an attorney Tuesday he did not wish to speak publicly on the accusations. And the same Democrats wrote to FBI Director Christopher Wray and White House Counsel Don McGahn requesting they reopen the background investigation. And President Trump, however, said Tuesday he doesn't think the Bureau should be involved because they don't want to be involved.
You know, the Democrats are so full of crap on the committee. They're just really full of it. The FBI has said it's not interested in pursuing it. They're not investigating it. So what investigation are they waiting for? They're trying to compel the FBI to do something. FBI doesn't work for the Senate, doesn't work for Democrats. It works for the executive branch that's led by Donald Trump, the president of the United States. The only other person in the room has said, I've said all I know, nothing else to say, no reason for me to be in the middle of this clown show, this kabuki theater in front of Spartacus. Fartacus! So, I mean, at some point, you have to say, look, we tried, but it failed. We tried to take him down. We tried this 11th hour thing that, by the way, Dianne Feinstein found it to be so horrible and horrifying and interesting that she held on to it for 2 months. Did nothing about it for 2 months. Never brought it up in the hearings. Looked as though the hearings were not going the way that she wanted them to. Then suddenly the so-called, and Fox writes this badly, bombshell. It's not a bombshell because there's nothing to it. A bombshell actually has some explosives in it. This is actually a nothing. It actually is. He's denied it. Judge has denied it. She can't say how old they were. She can't say exactly where it happened. She can't say exactly when it happened. Yet we're just supposed to believe her. She's a rabid anti-Trumper, according to reports. There's a picture reportedly of her, not Photoshopped. I'm not good with Photoshop, so I wouldn't know how to do it anyway. But it appears to be real, where she's carrying a sign. She's got a pink hat on in the Women's March. We know how radical her lawyer is with her feelings about allegations against Democrats like Bill Clinton and Al Franken. So what more is there to see here? I'm not really sure what else other than they're trying to push this, and I said this from the beginning. They are trying to push this hearing and this actual confirmation vote until after the November elections. Keep in mind, they are convinced they're going to win the House and they might win the Senate. Now, they would have to win the Senate to be able to stop this nomination. Now, the latest reports are that senators on the Republican side are actually gaining steam and gaining strength, and quite possibly not only won't they lose the Senate, they might add to the Senate. Don't take that word for it. Make sure you go and vote on Election Day. Make sure you are at the polling place on Election Day. Don't sit in your hands. Don't feel good about anything. Just go and do your due diligence. And I want to remind you, heading into November, which is what they're trying to push this back past, heading into November, keep in mind, the left in this country wants abortion on demand anytime, any place, no matter, even up till birth. They want to take away the tax cuts that gave you more money in your paycheck and more money in your bank account. They want unemployment to go up, which will happen if they touch the tax cuts. They want the corporate tax cut to go away so that the people that employ us and pay us have less money with which to employ us and pay us. They'll move their jobs back overseas again. All the new jobs that came in will necessarily leave. They would have to, because it's all about the bottom line. And they want to impeach the president of the United States. There is no reason to impeach 45. Impeach 45. There's no reason to, but that's what they say they'll do. They also don't want any checks and balances at the border. They would like to abolish ICE and let anybody come into this country illegally that wants to. Now, that's really what's at stake. Plus, the Supreme Court is at stake. And that's a really big deal. I don't care if you're left or right. Generally speaking, Americans don't think of themselves like, I'm a conservative. Generally speaking, people might say, I'm a little conservative on this, a little liberal on that. I'm more down the middle, a little more independent. But I'm here to tell you the things I just said are verifiably true. There isn't a leftist in this country that can take what I just said and dispute it, refute it, or rebuke it. Not even a little bit. So that's really what's at stake here. These people are purposely trying to push this vote back until after the midterm election. They're going to do everything they can to disrupt and obstruct until that election happens. This man should have been confirmed already. It should have happened this week. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. It's going to be Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch when we come back. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags.
If you want us, just ask your smart speaker for us.
Alexa, play 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
That sounds like a pretty good choice to me.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, all the social media there, also Newsmax TV, the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have back the president of Judicial Watch. It's Tom Fitton. Tom, how are you?
Hey, Joe. Good to be with you again.
It's always an absolute pleasure. You guys, every single day on your website, are breaking news on your Twitter feed, your breaking news. Plus, you do these dynamite videos updating people and your followers on exactly what it is that you're uncovering. And I got to tell you, I appreciate your journalism. I appreciate you guys looking into what's going wrong in the swamp. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, we do this in the public interest. The public doesn't know what's going on. What good is the work?
Well, you're right. And watching Twitter today, and whether Bert and Ernie are gay or not, that's a big deal. And the latest thing from Stormy Daniels is a big deal. While we're ignoring Benghazi, the Clinton, you know, server, the FISA court is going to, I guess these warrants are going to be unclassified soon. So let's get into the real news, what really does concern people. And I think right now, if it comes to politics and real stuff happening in the country, most people are focused on the Kavanaugh hearings, the Kavanaugh confirmation, which I think you and I agree is still going to happen. But is this allegation, this 11th hour allegation that was being held by Dianne Feinstein since July, is this, in your opinion, a tentacle of the deep state?
Oh, yeah. They don't like anything President Trump is doing. And so, you know, the establishment, as reflected at least by Democrats currently in the Senate, are going to try to oppose any long lasting changes he wants to bring to the courts, especially the Supreme Court. You know, I've jokingly said that, you know, someone like Kavanaugh and certainly Justice Gorsuch has already been appointed by President Trump. You know, he may be around when Barron Trump runs for president 30 years from now. These are young men who will be on the court for decades, potentially. And that's why the left is going to the mat and pulling out all the stops that are ever despicable to try to bring him down. And, you know, with respect to this woman's allegations, you know, she may believe it. And, you know, I don't know if she's telling the truth or not, or maybe she believes what happened. But certainly that there's not enough there to warrant the unholy spectacle that we're going to see on Monday of a public hearing where, you know, she gets dragged out into the public to, you know, justify, as I said, allegations that don't have as much background as would be warranted to justify a public investigation like this. And of course, Judge Kavanaugh, you know, his reputation is going to be harmed significantly by this public exploitation of this woman's charges.
Well, I would agree with you. It's Tom Fitton. He's the president of Judicial Watch. Tom, is it judicialwatch.org? It is org, right?
Yes.
Okay, so go there. Make sure that you see all the great journalism and what they're uncovering there every single day. Just to expand upon what you said, there is no corroboration for this allegation. In fact, the only other person named says, not only don't I remember it, it absolutely didn't happen. 65 women who have known him in the exact same 35, 36 years have said, no way, this guy ever did anything like this. Yet, for some reason, this is, at least momentarily, slowing down the process, which is what Spartacus tried to do, which is what Kamala Harris tried to do, which is what Feinstein tried to do, not very well before. None of that was working, and they thought this would stick, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they were failing, so this is the last gasp, because Kavanaugh was on a clear guide path to confirmation. You know, Feinstein effectively told us what she thought of this by sitting on it for 2 months, because it was serious, she would have used it earlier.
Yeah,
okay. And as I said, this is the sort of thing that could have been handled in the ordinary course by the committee in private. But now two people, and I include the accuser, are going to be exploited. And she may be happy to do it for political reasons. I don't know what her motives are.
Yeah.
But either way, the Senate Judiciary Committee shouldn't participate in this mess. But, you know, you've got, unfortunately, weak leadership, and they've agreed to the public hearings. And given the closely divided Senate, all you need are one or two Republicans to say, hey, I want a hearing, and they don't have much choice. But it's an ugly way to run a railroad, that's for sure.
It is Tom Fitton, the president of Judicial Watch. Get to judicialwatch.org. You guys have been unbelievable in working on the FISA stuff. What was the reason? What was the probable cause? Why was this warrant asked for? We're finding out piecemeal. Well, we got the warrant because we thought Carter Page was this, that, or the other, and Christopher Steele said so, and then Steele leaked something to the news. They used the news story that he leaked as corroboration for why they should continue the warrant. The president said enough is enough, and I think because of your hard work, he's now said we're going to declassify the FISA warrant stuff. How scared should the left be in this country that we're just about to find out exactly what they did and what they pulled?
Well, this is a bipartisan scandal in the sense that you had Trump's appointees, Rosenstein, sign on to this.
Yeah.
Dana Buente, he's a senior official now at the FBI, also signed on to this dirty spy warrant. And it was a dirty spy warrant. I mean, you pointed out the materials that we've been able to uncover, partial aspects of the warrant, that are only out there because of an earlier presidential declassification effort that the deep state opposed.
Yeah.
Fraudulently, because it looks like there was nothing to be declassified or to be protected that would have harmed national security. And you pointed out they were referencing the dossier, reports about the dossier, and reports from other agencies about the dossier, and pretending there were three pieces of information separately.
That all came from the same source.
And I call it, Joe, the self-licking ice cream cone.
Exactly.
And those who have read the rest of the FISA warrant, or those portions that are going to be declassified, have said publicly, like Nunes and Goodlatte, that what's in there that's about to come out is even worse than the dossier scandal. So we'll see.
And we're looking at implications of Rosenstein, of McCabe, of Comey, right down the line, right?
Right. And I commend the president. I normally don't go around praising politicians, but this president took an extraordinary, heroic move in intervening to get this material out to the American people. mean, he doesn't know what's in these documents. He's just declassifying them. So we'll see what happens. The fact that you have the left and major media outlets criticizing the president for a transparency move, while at the same time happily taking illegally leaked material that's classified that would harm national security and publishing, is the height of hypocrisy. And it shows you that the left doesn't really care about transparency. It's all about power, and in this specific case, destroying President Trump.
Hey, Tom, is it your opinion that any of this could have happened, all this FISA stuff could have happened, without the knowledge of the then executive in chief, President Barack Obama?
Well, I have no doubt Barack Obama was behind this all, was happily involved in it. I know it's been public, and it's been because Susan Rice wrote a CYA memo about it. There was a meeting just before Comey went to confront and try to entrap and intimidate Trump with that dossier.
I mean, but Obama's claim now is that he had no clue, right? Obama is like, say, I don't know. I didn't tell them what to do and what not to do.
Well, you know, I'd like to have President Obama. Maybe we can question President Obama about what he
Yeah, hold serious. Your breath for that, Tom.
Let's ask for Hillary Clinton what she knew and when.
Well, let's ask her. Let's shift. You're going to bring up Hillary Clinton, and I appreciate that. Let's shift to Benghazi. We just had the anniversary of the attack on Benghazi, 4 Americans killed, and the lie about the videotape. By the way, it's Tom Fitton. He's the president of JudicialWatch.org. Get to the website. Follow him over on Twitter. Unbelievable what he's uncovering. There was an allegation, which is sort of a quiet rumor that was floating around, that maybe there was some arms dealing going on. Maybe that's why they didn't send in help when they could have. They were about 100 miles away. What do you now know about whether there was arms dealings going on with the Libyan government and what we did or didn't know going into this attack on our consulate?
Well, we knew it was a terrorist attack almost immediately. So any idea, any noise that it was a video, as the Obama gang alleged, Susan Rice, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama himself through the White House, was a lie. We also have confirmation that arms were going out from Benghazi to the belligerents in the Syria war, the terrorist groups there.
Right.
We also know that as a result of what was going on in Libya and Benghazi, it was contributing to the mess in the Middle East. And according to a DIA document that Judicial Watch uncovered, that there was a serious case to be made that ISIS was on the rise. And of course, that was ignored. And then on top of it, probably the worst aspect of this is that they could have sent people to rescue at least those. The Benghazi attack occurred in two locations. The first location at the special mission compound, where Stevens and his colleague were killed, or so we were told. And then several hours later at the CIA annex about a mile away. Well, as soon as the initial attack occurred, the document we uncovered, the State Department and other senior officials were told by the Defense Department, we got folks, you know, spinning up, we're ready to go. And that offer was never taken up. Those folks were not deployed, certainly in time to, as they could have been, to rescue and protect those who came under attack several hours later.
Do we have any clue as to why they would have been told to stand down? Because they were ready.
Well, we know there was at least one delay because they didn't want to have regular troop uniforms on the ground in Libya. They wanted them to change their outfits. This was about protecting the political standing of the president, and in retrospect, it was about two presidential campaigns, Barack Obama's reelection campaign, and now in retrospect, we now know it was about Hillary Clinton's nascent presidential campaign as well.
So because of optics and because of political campaigns, 4 Americans had to die. What are you going to do?
Yeah, Hillary Clinton was desperate to have a win in Libya, and that included placing her ambassador in harm's way in Benghazi, despite all the security issues. I mean, Judicial Watch also separately uncovered they had, in fact, the day of the attack, they had no official security at Benghazi. The contract with the local security forces had lapsed, and they weren't authorized to provide protection.
And one would assume that the terrorists probably had a heads up on that from somewhere in Libya. Okay, no security, going to be easy. What happened there is just nuts, because as she's sitting in front of a committee of our Congress, she says, once they started pushing her, what difference does it make now? I mean, basically, what difference does it make now how they died? Whether it was a couple of terrorist idiots or whether it was a couple of these people saw a video, what difference? They're dead. She really thought this would just go away, didn't she?
She did, and she's angry about it, and the Obama administration is angry about it, or at least the former members. You had President Obama, and this is why we put out a series of videos reminding people about this just the other day. President Obama talking about conspiracy theories associated with Benghazi. And what are the conspiracy theories? They're the ones who put out the fake conspiracy theory that an internet video made him do it, and that somehow conservatives in America were behind it, when in fact it was Al-Qaeda and the terrorist planned terrorist attack. There were arms being shipped out of Benghazi. It was linked to the war in Syria. And yes, the military could have been deployed in time to protect at least some of the people who were injured and killed.
But they were afraid of how it would look.
That's one might surmise based on the lack of action and the cover-up thereafter.
You've got so
much. Remember, Hillary, the Obama campaign slogan, Joe, at the time was, Bin Laden is dead, GM is alive.
Yep.
It's hard to make the case that Al-Qaeda had been decimated when you have this historic attack on killing our ambassador, the first time an ambassador has been killed in line of duty since Afghanistan 30 years earlier.
Wow.
So we have heard his political campaign, and it was all about protecting the political campaign, and it was not about protecting our people on the ground or getting justice for them once the attack occurred.
You've done an amazing job on uncovering also a lot of information about Hillary Clinton's server. We're out of time this time. Tom, can we get together again very soon?
There's always more to be told.
Corruption. And what you guys are uncovering is amazing.
It ain't over. That's the big news.
That's why we keep going to judicialwatch.org. Also, we follow Judicial Watch on Twitter. We follow you directly on Twitter as well. It's Tom Fitton. He's the president of Judicial Watch. Tom, thanks a million.
You're welcome, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
I listen to the radio for info in the morning.
Most in the morning.
Every morning for weather.
Kickstart your day.
I turn on even before I get up out of bed.
With the news and info you can use.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
All right, great to have you. The Joe Pag Show, 1-888-941-7247, 888-941-PAGS. Love to have you along for the ride. Also stop by joepags.com. Click on Facebook. Go there, send me a message. You'll be signed up for the daily messages. Also, if you haven't gone to the website before, there'll be a pop-up that says sign up for the email. Sign up for that, too. I sent out an email today. Now, Carrie, you signed up for the email, too, or not?
I did, yeah. Look forward to it every day.
So you received an email and a message today.
Mm-hmm. I did, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
People understand the sarcasm in your voice. You realize that, right?
I really look forward to those every day.
So, we'd like to send out what guests we're going to have. We tell you what show topics we're going to have. We're going to talk about the Emmy Awards last night. Carrie, you watched the Emmys?
Nope. Did not.
Polo Emmys?
No.
Sam Emmys?
No, definitely not.
You guys are in good company because a lot of people didn't watch them this year. We'll have the updated ratings numbers. Yeah. They continue to slide just like the NFL continues to slide. They're just never going to understand that they have to stop all the political BS. Now, I don't know what kind of politics there were last night. I've gotten some indication that there was a little bit of politics and that somebody proposed to somebody or something.
I heard about. Yeah. She said yes.
But from what I understand, it was a white couple and it was like a man and a woman.
Yeah.
It would almost be horrible for Hollywood to promote that kind of thing.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. The white people getting married is a man and a woman and everything? Come on, dude. Now, for Bert and Ernie proposing.
Oh, that would have been awesome. Ratings through the roof. Yeah.
We'll talk about that. And we're also going to talk about how Roseanne is talking about how her character will be killed off of her own show.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie, is it me or that whole thing just still nutsy cuckoo?
It is. And I was thinking, I don't know, I watched it when she was on there and I love the original show. With this, I don't know if I can do it or not. I don't think I can.
I 100% will not be offering any ratings points for this show.
Yeah.
I will not be watching this show. I could care less about the other characters. Without Roseanne, it's not Roseanne. You can call it the Connor family, Roseanne's family.
The Connors, I think.
Is that what they're calling it, the Connors?
Yeah, I think so.
It will be nothing. The show only was successful because of Roseanne.
You got to have Roseanne, I think.
Now, yes, I've asked Roseanne to come on the show again. We had her in 2012. We're friends on the Twitters. And she's awesome, but she has not responded yet. Hopefully when she checks her DMs, intent. She lives in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
We're a big deal in Honolulu.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe she's listening.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe she's listening. Mm-hmm. Probably is.
Maybe so.
But I'd love to have Roseanne on, but she is talking now. She's out speaking, and she is actually giving away how her character dies. We'll talk about that as we go forward as well. Meantime, let me tell you about Super Beats. Super Beats is a great product. I take it every morning. Super Beats will help you build more nitric oxide. That is the miracle molecule. That's what they're calling it. Nitric oxide helps to regulate your blood pressure. It helps you with circulation, helps you with blood flow, helps you with stamina and energy. It's just all around good for your cardiovascular system. But as we get older, our bodies generally make less nitric oxide. So what do? You get Super Beats by Human because they've harnessed the power of nutrient-enriched beets and created a superfood that helps your body make more nitric oxide naturally. You're going to get real, healthy, natural energy, not with caffeine, not with sugar. It's going to be from this great product, natural product, Super Beats. I don't like the taste of beets. Don't get me wrong. This doesn't taste like beets to me. Plus, they've got a wild cherry flavor. Call them right now, 800-516-8389. Or go to joelovesbeets.com. Find out about a free 30-day supply and free shipping as well. It's 800-516-8389 or go online, joelovesbeets.com. Do it right now. All right, let me see. We've got some people holding on, and we don't really have time to get to you. I don't want to take you, as usual, end of the hour. If we take you, I'm going to give you 10 seconds, start yelling, "Go, brother!" So if you want to line up right now on the Emmys, did you watch or not last night? Your thoughts on Tom Fitton and that interview about the deep state. There's so much going on. I love the work that Judicial Watch does. And your thoughts about whether you'll watch Roseanne without Roseanne. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
For life.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. The Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride on a Tuesday. Come on. Oh, yeah. That's right. Ba-ba-da-doo. Bop, bop. Oh, yeah. Bring it.
Crazy.
You know.
Hey, but that's how it goes. Millions of people.
That is Carrie Lockie. Carrie, what up?
Hello.
Maybe.
Can I say that I used to,
it's not too late,
you know, set my calendar by the Emmys? No. I was an Emmy Awards watcher if I was flipping around and it was on. Now, mind you, when I was growing up, way back in
50, 60 years ago.
Yeah, exactly right. We had ABC, NBC, CBS. As I recall, even though Johnny Carson and The Tonight Show was on NBC and was 90 minutes long, it was an hour and 30 minutes, he still, I believe, was the host of the Academy Awards for much of my youth, which was on ABC. I don't remember when the Emmy Awards started showing up on television. Do you?
I do not.
I don't know either. But again, if I was flipping around and it was on, I'd watch it. Same thing with the Grammys, because look, the Emmy Awards, you'd see some of your favorite stars. And generally speaking, if they would say an off joke about politics quickly, it was just a quick thing. And then, you know, they'd move on and thank everybody and you really love me and whatever. The Academy Awards was a big deal because generally speaking, there weren't as many movies being released. And you'd go and see the big blockbusters, and you want to see if your favorite movie is going to win an Oscar. I get it. The Grammys, you'd want to watch that because your favorite star or artist would probably go sing a song because it's one of the biggest songs of the year. It wasn't about politics at all. For me, I think the Academy Awards was one that I would set my calendar by. And I haven't watched that in years now. I don't even know when it's on. I think it's on in the wintertime. I think January or something.
I believe it's about February.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So,
late February.
You know, I did not know that it was time for the Emmys last night. When I saw the Emmys trending, I thought it was because they were announcing the nominations. I didn't realize that it was the night that it was on. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not being a smartass. I just didn't know it was time. But just like with football, just like with, you know, other segments of society that are no longer getting our money, like Nike, seeing a big dip in their stock price the day after being stupid. The Emmy Awards has been losing, you know, fans and eyeballs and ratings for a long time. We'll get into exactly how much they lost in a second. Kerry's got that story. I don't want to leave Mike hanging, though. Mike's calling about the Kavanaugh hearing. We certainly talked about that a lot last hour. Mike, what's on your mind? Hi.
Oh, hi, Joe. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes. What's up?
Yeah, and I apologize. I just tuned in just shortly a while ago, and sure. I had something else on my mind. But as far as the Kavanaugh hearings, I just want to maybe echo that I'm really pretty disgusted with this late accusation, and my fear is that I'm worried that this nomination will not close this, you know, within time. So that's pretty much what I wanted to say about that.
Well, Mike, I appreciate it. Yeah, I think that's the goal. I think without a doubt that's the goal of the left. They don't want it to get done before November. And again, they're betting on the fact that the Senate, for some reason, would go to the Democrats. It's not a good bet. I don't know anybody who's betting that that's going to happen. There are some who predict. But listen, I'm going to be straight with you. In 2006, I was emailing back and forth with a television news anchor you guys would know nationally. And this person said, I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody I voted for is a Democrat. I said, what the hell's wrong with you? Why would you do that? Because I'm sick of the crap in Washington and I want the whole thing turned over. Kerry, is it a unique experience when I say that sometimes people just say, I want them all gone?
Let's
just get rid of everybody and turn the whole thing over?
Yeah, I've heard that many times.
And that's exactly what can happen again. That's exactly what can happen again. And this person and I were emailing back and forth through as the election results were coming in. And they were happy. Yes, it's exactly what I wanted. I'm like, you must be high. This is not going to be good. And, of course, it showed to not be good to have a Democrat House and Senate in 2007 for the remaining couple of years for George W. Bush. That wasn't good. They just became stopgaps. They were just obstructionists. He couldn't get anything done. Gas prices went through the roof. I mean, the whole country, it just started, it was sluggish. It wasn't what it could have been through his tax cuts and so on. Then you had the turnover in 2010 of the House to Republicans under Obama, thankfully stopping his out-of-control radical leftist policies. But he still had the Senate, so he could push through Kagan. He could push through Sotomayor. Then in 2014, the people said, I've had enough, and put Republicans in the Senate to stop this radicalization of our government to where it was put everybody on entitlements, push all the jobs out of here, gladly announce to people the jobs aren't coming back. Well, now you've got a Republican House, Senate, and presidency. You've got all three branches are in Republican hands or in the right hands, right-leaning hands. And we're seeing what capitalism can really do. There are a lot of people out there who just, I'm sick of it. I'm just going to turn it over in November. That's what I'm doing. I'm turning it over in November. That's the way it is. Have a nice day. And I'm here to tell you, don't. Make sure that you pay attention to the issues. Make sure that you pay attention to what's going on and realize that that's what the Kamala Harris's out there and Dianne Feinstein's out there and Cory Booker's out there are trying to do. They're trying to, and Leahy and all these idiots, they're trying to drag their feet on Kavanaugh until after the November election. Then they can just filibuster it and try to stop it, although the nuclear option is still available. Well, all they really have to do is pick off one or two Republicans, and they can stop the nomination. It is 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. If you can, Kerry, give me that update on what happened with the Emmys last night, because it wasn't what the Emmys were hoping it would be. Because I guess NBC actually moved days of the week, thinking it would be more popular on a different day. Go ahead.
Not so much. This is from Deadline. The final numbers from Nielsen are in, and the Colin Jost and Michael Che hosted show pulled in 10.172 million viewers and a 2.4 rating among adults 18 to 49, a new all-time low for TV's biggest night. Well, not as bad as the falls that the Oscars and Grammys have seen in recent years. That's still down 4% in the demo and 11% in sets of eyeballs from the previous low of last year. Stephen Colbert hosted and Sean Spicer cameoing Emmys held on a Sunday, falling to painful numbers. The Lorne Michaels executive-produced 70th Primetime Emmys are also face-planted 34% of viewers from the Don Mischer EP'd 66th Primetime Emmys. And that August 25th, 2014 ceremony was the last time the Comcast-owned Net had the Emmys. It was also on a Monday, so NBC could still keep its Sunday night football schedule on track. Obviously, last night's Emmys did not face SNF, but they did go up against ESPN's Monday Night Football, and the result was not a winner for NBC. To put it politely, as you can read below, Fox, the Emmy ball is in your hands for next year. Hold tight. Even with the return of blockbuster Game of Thrones to the competition and without having to face Sunday Night Football, okay, and then it starts over for some reason.
There you go. So the Emmy Awards down double digits. Now the football season is done better. It rebounded a bit after the opening game or the opening night or whatever it was horrible. Double digits down from the double digits down from last year. I don't know why these people no longer think that it's important to ask what we want. Used to watch the Academy Awards because the opening number, and I have no hate for Whoopi Goldberg, unless or until she's on The View set and she thinks that she's like this great political mind. She's nuts on that set, but she would come out and do those opening scenes in the Academy Awards. It was great. Absolutely great. Billy Crystal, great. His song, his dance, his thing, it was great. And that's what we want. We want to be entertained. What they don't seem to understand is we turn to sports, we turn to music, we turn to movies and television to get away from it all. Not to have you tell us the way it is. Not to have you tell us how we should live. Not to have you tell us which puppets are gay and which aren't. Not for you to tell us what we can wear or not, or what we can drive or not, who we can support or not politically. That's not what matters in that moment. In that moment, we're all pulling for that one team. In that moment, we're all pulling for our favorite movie or TV show to win. In that moment, it's not about who's in the White House. It's not about who's the local representative. They just don't seem to get that. And they can lose money and lose money, lose more money, and they're still not getting it. It's weird. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Simple question. Did you watch the Emmys last night? Was that must-see TV for you? And Colin Jost and Michael Che, the last time I watched Saturday Night Live was about 3 years ago. They were the news anchors. And I guess that's what their deal is. I think Colin Jost is more famous now because he dates Scarlett Johansson, I think. Isn't that the deal, Polo? Isn't he dating her?
I believe so.
So, I mean, I think that's what he's more famous for now. But I had no indication that it was coming on, and I had absolutely zero inkling to turn it on. But I'm wondering, are people listening or watching my show right now, people that still tune in for the Emmys, and when you tuned in, did you get some entertainment and enjoy it? 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Thank you.
Setting a reminder before you forget.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
Is as easy as that.
You're darn right. It is 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. The Emmy Awards, is it must-see TV for you anymore, or is it much like the NFL for many of us? And we just don't care. Now listen, I still get it that the majority of people that have always watched the NFL are still watching. But there is a large chunk that no longer watches, this guy included. I don't know anything about the NFL. The only thing I know about the Miami Dolphins this year, my favorite team, has always been my favorite team, is that Kenny Stills, is it Stills or Sills? Is it Stills?
Yes.
With a T, yes?
Yes.
He kneels, and there's some other guy that kneels with him during the national anthem, disrespecting our military, our flag, our anthem, and our country. And Ryan Tannehill was trending the other day. Paul, I don't care why he was trending, but on Sunday he was trending. I don't know why. I didn't click on it. I don't care. I don't know if he's still the starting quarterback. He could be a wide receiver by now, which is what he used to do at Texas Tech. I don't know. And do I care to know? Yeah. Love me some football on Sunday. Got to tell you, though, a lot more time on my hands on Sunday, man. I can get out and do some yard work, swim in a pool, hang out with the family. I mean, I really, for many years of my life, lost a lot of time watching NFL football. So even if I were to go back, if they were to make a rule today that said, if a player kneels, they'll be fined X amount of dollars, which is what I've been asking the NFL to do because, look, the players want to be dopes and kneel. That's up to them. The NFL, it's up to them as the employer to punish the employee for not following protocol and doing the right thing. Either you stay in the locker room during the national anthem or you stand while it's being played. If you don't do one of those two things, going to be an X amount of dollars fine every single time you do it. At least the NFL is making a stand and saying, this is what we need you to do. And I would not be against them saying, you know, second time, $25,000, third time, $50,000, fourth time, you're out of the league. You can make that rule, 100%. Then I would come back. So if I came back, I used to watch, Kerry, I would watch every single game I possibly could, switch around while they're all on. Mm-hmm. I'd go nuts. I would never go back to that again. The NFL has lost me on that level forever. And maybe has lost me forever. I may not go back at all. It really depends on what they're going to do. They feigned like they were going to do something in the offseason. And then once the season started, they said, well, we're putting off that idea, at least for this year. We're not going to fine anybody or punish anybody. And that's it. And people started kneeling and sitting down, laying on the floor and whatever else. And I don't have time for it. That's, to me, the Emmys are just reflective of what people like me think about entertainment, Hollywood, music, and sports flipping their noses at us. And Nike flipping their noses at us. Let me go to the phone lines and see where you are on this. It's David in Yakima. David, what's going on? Hi. Come on, David. You're on the air. Let's go. All right, Sam, you want to check line two, see if David's still there? I will send that back to you. Let me go to Beth in California. Beth, hi.
Hey, Joe. How you doing today?
I'm living the dream. What's happening?
Hey, I didn't watch those stupid Emmys last night. You know what? The people in Hollywood, as far as I'm concerned, are part of the deep swamp.
Yeah, no, they are.
They, you know, I get disgusted watching people that are in Hollywood making all of this money, patting each other on the back for something great they've done, and all they're doing is pretending in front of a camera, for God's sake.
And generally speaking, Beth, they're reading somebody else's words. It's not even their own words.
Exactly. And so they want to take my time. Look, Joe, I don't watch 2, 4, 7, 5, 11, all those channels, as far as I'm concerned, they're dead.
Wow.
They're dead.
It's a strong statement.
And I just want, it's true. And I just want to say about the earlier hour about our country, I hope that America and the people listening to your program can see that our country is sitting in the center of a seesaw. We as the people see where our country is today. Those that can look through the lies and see the truth. We're in a great place today. We as a people also saw where our country was yesterday.
Yeah.
This nation is sitting in an unbalanced limbo. It is truly truth against lies, above and below. And the side of lies is weighing down the other. And we see the ugliness of all of this stuff. And they don't want to face defeat, but this much I do know. Truth just is, and you can't hide it. Purity stands with truth, justice, true justice. And that, my friend, will always win in the end.
Beth, I love it. Very well said. I could never have said it better myself. Truth just is. So well said. It just is. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Let me go to Scott, who's in Saginaw, Michigan. Scott, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. It's wonderful to talk to you.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you on WFTW. What's going on?
I have 100% support of your opinion of the football players.
Thanks.
I would feel much better about it if any one of these players would, at any time other than at a football game, take their own money, create a television commercial if you want, and tell us, get your beef out there. Tell us what you want. Tell us what your problem is, and I'm sure they would get support. Things would go a lot farther. There'd be a lot less protests.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I would love to see them produce a commercial, stand for the national anthem at the game. I'd love to see them show up at Saginaw City Hall, but stand for the national anthem at the game. I'd love to see them go down to, you know, to Saginaw County and go argue with some county commissioner, but make sure you stand during the anthem at the game. If you're really trying to change something civically or governmentally, or you're really complaining about a real issue that you really feel is one that has to be addressed, don't do it while I'm watching you play football.
Right, kneeling at a football game is not the media, and it's the same way I feel about the Emmys. Jim Carrey is a great example. He used someone else's dime while he had the exposure for free on a news show to brag up socialism.
Yeah.
Yet I don't see the Jim Carrey organization for the support of socialism anywhere, and all these stars that make all this money and yet will not spend a single dime of their own to push their narrative. They only do it when we don't want to watch them do it, right?
Scott, I hear you. I got to run, brother.
I want to see him get an award.
I'm with you. I got to hit it. You're right. Jim Carrey should do the biography of Cesar Chavez. No, not Cesar. Hugo Chavez. Do the biography of Hugo. Go ahead and do that and make that a happy ending at the end about how he left Venezuela. You can't. Because socialism doesn't work and never has. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also, the live video stream for hour number three. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. That's Carrie Lockie. Carrie. We've got some Roseanne news. Roseanne, let me ask you this. Do you think Roseanne lets the cat out of the bag because, you know, why would I help them succeed? Or does she let the cat out of the bag because there's such an uprising of people who want to know what the hell's going to happen to you?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit of both, I guess.
Fill us in if you don't mind.
This is from Fox News. Roseanne Barr revealed how her character will get killed off in the upcoming spinoff of Roseanne after she was fired from the ABC series in May for writing a racist tweet. Barr told Brandon Straka on his YouTube show Walk Away, the writers of the ABC spinoff The Conners elected to have her character die by overdosing on opioids. Oh yeah, they killed her, she said. They have her die of an opioid overdose. A rep for The Conners did not immediately return Fox News' request for comment. Barr made it clear she was not happy with her character's fate, saying it was disrespectful to fans who love that family on the original series. There's nothing I can do about it, Barr admitted. It's done. It's over. And Barr's former co-star John Goodman revealed previously her character would die in the spinoff, but did not say how. ABC has yet to comment on how they will handle Barr's character death. And Barr made headlines after she tweeted in May that former President Barack Obama's aide, Valerie Jarrett, who is African-American and was born in Iran, was as though the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby. ABC canceled the popular reboot of Roseanne shortly after the tweet.
All right, so yeah, I can absolutely see why she's not happy with it. I mean, I would think that they would have had her run away or disappear or something like that to kill her off. She's dead.
Yeah, even if she does run away, that's just not Roseanne. That's not something that character would do. So
it's not.
This doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
Well, I think that we talked about this before. I'm perfectly fine with them taking every one of those actors who, you know. Roseanne rightfully said they should not serve the punishment that I'm getting for doing this. Take those actors, have some other spinoff, call it Sarah or something, you know, call it Becky, call it Dan, and then just don't even make reference to Roseanne. I mean, maybe then, or maybe have a whole new family. You can't bring in another woman to be Roseanne. That would be stupid. But I mean, look, this show is based on her stand-up comedy. This show is based on her relationship at her house with her husband, her real husband, real life at the time, before Tom Arnold, the original guy, whoever the guy was. So why be disrespect or take the chance of disrespecting at all the fans of the show, the fans that came back in droves last year? Now, I've gone back and I've actually watched some of the very first season of Roseanne back in the day. It's not anywhere near as funny as I remember it, but maybe because the world has changed a bit. And I actually think the reboot in certain times, in certain moments, was funnier and was better. And the familiarity you have with these characters is what drove us there. So why would you take one of the beloved characters and kill them? There was do you remember, what was it, 98? There was outrage when they killed Danoff.
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. I did not care for that. Yeah.
But you can't kill the guy.
No.
Then, of course, 20 years later, they're just breathing. He's awake now.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess they could do that with Roseanne, kill her off and bring her back if you feel like it. But just a dumb move. And I tweeted this out a little while ago to Roseanne and two other people. And I said, why didn't ABC use its collective brains here and say, we're going to suspend her for a show or two shows or half a season or whatever. We're going to actually attack this topic on the show. Because already they were attacking the Women's March, the Trump issues, the P hats, Hillary lost, Trump wins. They talked about Jill Stein. They're talking about Medicare. They're talking about prescription drugs. They're hitting every hot topic. Jobs coming back, illegals coming in and working jobs. I mean, they were on point. So why not take, ripped from the headlines, here's what really happened in the offseason. And then continue the show, call it Roseanne, dock her a bunch of money that she donates to fill in the blank, you know, 2018 liberal activist something, and then you move forward. And ABC saves face by defending the Obamas and Valerie Jarrett, who, by the way, the vast majority of us had no clue was black. And then Roseanne gets this, you know, claim ignorance, which she did, and she still says to this day, told me before she told anybody else, that she did not know that she was black, and then move forward. All the actors keep their jobs. The characters Roseanne helped to create out of her stand-up comedy don't go away. You don't kill off the main title character. You know, remember Valerie from Mary Tyler Moore?
Yeah, I do.
Then they spun it off to Valerie, then Valerie. Then they got rid of her for some reason. She no longer was getting along with anybody. Then they called it Valerie's family, then the Hogan family.
I don't
think that did anywhere near as well as Valerie would have. Now, maybe somebody can prove me wrong, but I never watched the Hogan family. We watched it for Valerie, didn't we? You watched it for Roseanne. So I think this is an historically bad move. It was a historically bad tweet that Roseanne, I guess, didn't check, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's and check it with her lawyers before sending it out. But I thought that's what Twitter was supposed to be. It was sort of from the hip, and there you go. Have a nice day. I still think that this is an historically bad move by ABC. And I really do sincerely hope that nobody watches this show. I'm not boycotting it. I'm just not watching it. And it would make me feel better about how I think she was railroaded if other people didn't watch it. Just like, now there's this meme going around, I don't know if you've seen this, where people are suggesting you don't watch the NFL on Veterans Day. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen that one, yeah.
I'd be down for that. I'm not calling for a boycott. But if Veterans Day, I don't even know, I guess it does, if it falls on a Sunday, then why would you watch a game where people think that those who died with that flag on their shoulder, you know, shouldn't be respected by standing during the national anthem? Oh, and here's a little something else now that I'm just off on this little bit of a rant, Kerry Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who think that it means something when you write me to say, every veteran I've ever talked to says they signed on the dotted line to give them the right to protest, you're lying. You're a liar. Now, I do think that there are veterans that are leftists or Democrats or left-leaning or really do misconstrue the Constitution to say that that's why they signed up. But I have an idea. If you want to bring me that BS, that bacon sandwich about how veterans signed on the dotted line to give football players the right to protest on the sideline, ask that veteran this very specific question. Did you sign on the dotted line to give yourself the right to protest in basic training? And then wait for the answer. Kerry, that would fall into the same realm, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. I could protest anytime I want. So. That's why people sign on the dotted line. Answer a simple question. Did you sign on the dotted line giving you and every American the right to protest, hit a knee during reveille? Did you or did you not? Did you or did you not sign on the dotted line to give yourself the right to, instead of marching in single file or in whatever way that drill sergeant wanted you to do the Macarena out to the off to the side wearing Bermuda shorts and basic training? Tell me if you signed on for that right. See, don't be an ass wagon. Be honest. For once, be honest. Don't give me this crap that veterans signed on the dotted line to give football players the right to protest, because they didn't. Just like in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. National Guard. When you sign up to do a job, you follow the rules of the job. It's not that hard. It's no more than remedial math. It's not calculus. It's not rocket science. When you say, yes, I'll do this job, you follow the orders, you follow the directions. And if you don't want to, don't sign up, whether it's a $1 million contract or if it's to sign up for the armed forces. That's simple. And you sound stupid when you act like something else is going on. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-PAGS. Will you watch Roseanne without Roseanne? Do you think ABC could have done what I just suggested? And have you ever thought to ask one of these people that claims they spoke to a veteran who says they signed on the dotted line to let you protest? Did you ever ask him that simple question? Well, how many times did you protest during basic training? 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
Updating you with the news that matters, coming up at the top of the hour on News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. Appreciate you stopping by. Somebody's rolling that they're turning the state red in November. I think the person's from Minnesota. I'm going to need you to prove that one. I'm going to need you to prove that one. I'm not so sure, although President Trump got awfully close in 2016. That would be very interesting. This guy Warren just won't type the word unsubscribe. Why does he keep writing? Carrie, why does he keep writing me?
I don't know. He wants to pick a fight with you.
I'm just trying to see.
The debate with you.
I'm just wondering what the hell he's talking about.
Hey, did you see my message I just sent you?
I think he's got a bit of a crush. He's got a bit of a crush. You sent me a message. See, I ignore you on Facebook.
I ignore you. Sending you something important.
Well, there you go. See, that's interesting, isn't it? Now, who says this?
This is coming from Fox News, and they're saying a U.S. official says the FBI will not investigate Kavanaugh unless the White House demands it.
You know why, right?
Why?
Because the FBI works for the executive. This is what I said earlier. So all these senators know that they're, you know, barking and chirping about, you've got to investigate this, full investigation, we demand an investigation. They know they have no power to force an investigation. And also, by the way, I've been reading these stories, and tell me if you see something different. Mm-hmm. First, it was this guy, judge was in there, he saw the whole thing, it absolutely happened, and he said, yeah, no, never, I have no clue what you're talking about. Kavanaugh says, nope, never happened, uh-uh. They were the only people in the room, is what the accuser said. Right. Now, suddenly, there was another girl at the party. Have you heard this?
No, I haven't heard that part of it. Really? Okay.
Another girl at the party.
Uh-huh. And she witnesses.
Gotta track her down now.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
To corroborate. Suddenly, there's an accusation that Feinstein did not take seriously. Suddenly, there was another guy in there who's adamantly denied it, vehemently denied it. Suddenly, there was another girl there now because Kavanaugh didn't say, okay, you're right, I probably laid on somebody.
But what's to corroborate if the accuser doesn't come forward and tell her story?
Well, nothing. Latest was, and I think this is from ABC News, the latest was she wants to cooperate but doesn't want to be part of this horrible show that's going on in the Senate. Well, then why'd she give Feinstein the letter?
I don't know. Maybe she thought, I'm going to give him the letter and then now I'm out. I don't know, but now I thought I heard Senator John Cornyn, who's on the committee, say today she can come forward and they can have a closed door session.
Right, but he also is angry. He was angry. Yeah. He was like, "What is this game that you're playing?
Yeah,
either bring her, present her, provide her, or forget it.
Right.
Enough. Just a stall tactic. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for Cory Booker to say, "I am Farticus." Closest thing I've had to a Farticus moment in a long time, in at least a week and a half. Carrie, let me ask you this.
Yeah,
just need a little honesty. I know you're the news lady. You don't want to really give opinion much, but do you think they looked himself in the mirror that morning and he said, "Here's how I'm going to say it. I'm going to break the rules. You're going to kick me out. This is the closest thing I've had to a Spartacus moment."
I don't think it was a spontaneous moment.
So you're saying it wasn't something that just happened organically?
I don't think so. I could be wrong.
I don't know if he's married or not. Let's pretend he's married. I don't know. Honey, I'm going to say it like this. What do you think? I've broken the rules. You kick me out if you see fit. Knowing that he didn't break the rules, I am Spartacus. And she's like, oh, baby, that's great. Have some cereal.
Sounds good.
You know, is that how it went down in the Cory Booker house that morning?
I don't know.
One wonders. All right. Mm. We'll take your phone calls in a second. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Let me, in the meantime, tell you about nitric oxide. Oh, yeah. You got to get the nitric oxide going. It's something that is naturally present in our bloodstream. We produce it in our bodies in plentiful amounts as we're younger. As we get older, we don't have as much, and that affects our circulation, our blood flow. It affects the amount of energy that we have. It really is something that you've got to pay attention to. Can you boost it? Well, yes. Super Beets, made by human, they've actually harnessed the power of nutrient-enriched beets and created a superfood that helps your body make more of this nitric oxide on its own. The core philosophy of human is to develop heart-healthy products for your body. One teaspoon of Super Beets daily supports your cardiovascular health and blood pressure levels. What's wrong with that? Nothing, right? Get you some Super Beets. I drink them every morning. I want you to as well. 800-516-8389, 800-516-8389, or joelovesbeets.com. Find out about getting a 30-day supply of Super Beets and also free shipping with your first purchase. Again, Super Beets at 1-800-516-8389 or joelovesbeets.com. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate Joe calling in. What's on your mind? Hi.
Well, thank you. The radio is down, so it won't have any interference.
Great, thank you.
I appreciate what you're saying and doing, but when I got drafted, at no time when I raised my hand was I contemplating NFL players taking a knee. I'm very proud of the fact that I served my country. And I'm also very dumbfounded that I actually got onto your program. I appreciate your taking my call.
No, no, it's perfectly fine. Well, let me take it from here then. I don't want you to have to worry about thinking about it and sounding this way or that way. Let's just talk about it for a second. You were drafted, and as you're taking your oath to go and serve for freedom and liberty in the Constitution, you're telling me you never thought about rich, overpaid football players kneeling on the sidelines? What's the matter with you?
I must be antiquated, and it's probably, as the left likes to say, I must be a racist.
I guess you're a racist because you don't want the football players to kneel. Joe, it's the dumbest thing that I ever encounter. My father always enjoyed telling us about his service in the Air Force, and he never once said, I did it for professional athletes. He did it for our way of life, for our flag, our anthem, for our value system. And that's what most people do, even if they're on the left. Nobody ever says, I signed up to help the NFL players kneel. And that's the dumbing down of America, that anybody would believe that's why they did it.
Well, it's no one has ever come up and asked me, as you mentioned earlier, about that, and I have never said anything. I don't understand. Maybe that's because I'm too old to understand. I have no clue.
No, you don't understand because it's ununderstandable. It is nonsense. That's why. Joe, I got to run. I appreciate your service. Thanks a million. Joe is, I think, just a microcosm of exactly how most veterans, doesn't matter if they're politically left or politically right, if you sign on the dotted line and you're willing to give your life for a value system, our way of life, our Constitution, you aren't thinking, I'm doing this for the right of an athlete to protest. You're thinking, I'm doing this for the longevity of our value system and the best country on planet Earth. It's that simple. Pop culture. Boop. Dirty pop. Hi, Polo, come on.
All right, so another thing that happened yesterday at the Emmys was, I guess Alec Baldwin was talking to Access Hollywood. I don't know if you saw this. And he was under the impression, or he claimed, that his niece, Hailey Baldwin, and Justin Bieber had already gotten married.
Okay.
Of course, Hailey Baldwin has since tweeted out that they're not married yet, and TMZ is saying that they've picked up their marriage license, but they haven't set their vows yet.
How would the uncle not know that?
I mean, how does he...
Who's lying?
Yeah, how does he know a lot of things?
Well, who's lying?
I believe maybe he got
it. Think they're married or not? Yes or no?
No.
All right, we got to go. For Polo, for Kerry, for Sam, Joe Pag. See you tomorrow.
This is the Joe Pag Show. It's